This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He's tiny. He overthrew Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, you didn't get anything to catch that. You're a grown-ass man.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You really are children.
I know. It's great. It's great. You know what? The one thing I do...
Keeps you young.
As old as I am, I still view myself through the lens of a 17-year-old punk. You know what I mean?
Please explain.
No, my mindset is still... like a child. What are we having for dinner? We have chocolate cake for dessert? Chocolate cake?
Well,
when are we going out and partying again? This weekend? When? Tonight? Let's do that. Hey, okay. Work? I don't really care. It's just, let's go have fun. That's what. Study? No. No need to study. No need to study. Let's go to the fraternity. Let's get to the fraternity. Have fun. That's what I mean.
Well, I did notice one of our co-workers asking, you know, like, Steiny, what do you eat for breakfast? And you're like, well, you know, Susan usually prepares something, and you know, so I haven't really been eating anything in the morning lately.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just, like, you are a grown-up in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Just not all of them, you know. I still like my cartoons.
Yeah, I'm super fortunate. I've got a woman at home that loves to cook. She loves it. She also, I hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but she says that's her love language. And so she's always been passionate about cooking, especially for the kids. But now that there's no kids there, she does it for Steiny.
Yeah, so?
You going to be home for dinner?
There's a lot of love.
I'll have something at about 6:30. What are you making, man? Thai meatballs. Yes!
What do you think Guru's love language is? I kind of want to break it down while he's not here.
Guru's love language.
So he can't get mad at me. Guru's love language.
Oh, no.
Wedding invitations?
Oh. Words of affirmation, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
When are you going to get a heart?
That is true. He does have a big heart.
He does.
He loves hard.
You know what? He's got a monster heart. Guru. And I don't mean he's a monster. I mean his heart's that big.
Eh, not all the time.
Hey, you know... just to give our listeners a general outline of how we go about things week in and week out here, especially during football season, is the 49ers will play a game on a Sunday, and Mondays, obviously, talk about the game. Tuesday, you go a little bit deeper into the game, and then Wednesday is a little bit of a transition day where you look back a little bit, but then you start thinking about the game upcoming, and that's the Patriots. But we call it halftime here at the station.
So what did we miss Wednesday?
That's right. So what did we miss? I saw something today that leads me, and maybe I'm late to the party, but I do think the Giants are in a little bit of trouble.
A little bit. They've won 5 in a row. What do you mean?
I know, but if you haven't read the stories today, the Giants are in Phoenix right now, playing the Diamondbacks. And Farhan Zaidi did an interview for the beat writers yesterday. And he said it. He said he has no idea if he's coming back or not. nor has he, the organization has told him nothing, and he has asked the organization nothing in terms of his status. So here we are in the last week of the regular season, and we don't know what's going to happen to Farhan Zaidi. That is never good. You don't you want to know? Do you think the Giants brass knows right now what they're doing with Farhan Zaidi?
I don't think they're in complete unison. Like I think there are, I would imagine the majority probably wants him gone. But my thing is, if you're expecting to compete for a postseason position, you generally don't completely remake your front office the year before. Like the Giants, I think, you know, you could say bad luck, injuries, subpar performances, whatever excuses you want to use for the way that this season has gone. You could say that that's the reason why, and next year we'll correct everything and we're going to be a postseason team like we should have been this year. Okay, so why would you then let go of your president of baseball operations? Why would you, I mean, maybe a manager, but why would you change managers after one season? You know, if they want to go and just rebuild this thing from the bottom, I completely understand. But then it does also beg the question why you just inked a player to a six-year deal and invested a significant sum of money. There's a lot of conflicting actions by the Giants that leads me to believe that there is not a unified front, whether it's with the board or other members of the front office. I think some people want Farhan here. A lot of people want him gone. But they're in a position that is, it's not good. Like right now as they stand, they're closer to the Colorado Rockies. And I don't just mean in terms of record, but like as a franchise, they're closer to where the Colorado Rockies are than where the San Diego Padres are. That's a problem.
No, I get that. I, for some reason, I don't, well, I, when you ask, if you ask me, what do you think's going to happen? I think, and I've said this, I think what's going to happen is kind of what Scott Osler said he thought was going to happen last week, was that Farhan's not going anywhere, but they're going to support him, or they're going to give him more, you know, give him another voice or two in the room. I think that's kind of the path of least resistance, and that's what I think they're going to end up doing.
I don't think that's a poor idea, but the big issue I have is that if you remove Zaidi from the equation, who are you getting?
Like, right.
You're not getting anybody that, number one, a lot of fans have heard of, because that's kind of the way that baseball operates. Like, I can run down a list of AGMs for Baltimore, or who's been another successful one, Cleveland. You can go pluck people off of those trees of successful franchises, but that's basically what you did with Farhan Zaidi. I mean, the reason why they went and got him is because of his association with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And before that, maybe the Oakland A's, who they had some respect for. I don't know. But nobody that's coming in is all of a sudden going to blow your socks off. Like, there isn't a Buster Posey equivalent of a president of baseball ops that's going to come in and save this franchise. So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And in a way, I almost do think I would give Zaidi another year to see if these quote-unquote young players that have popped and have gotten a lot better are actually for real. Because that's the only way that they're going to get out of this mess, in my opinion. I don't think another big free agent is coming. I don't think that they're even going to be able to re-sign Blake Snell. I think that the sum of the parts of this team are going to be back next season. And they're basically just going to try and hope that the problems correct themselves. That's not a great plan. But I don't see how remaking and reforming your entire front office gets you any closer to the playoffs next year.
Well, and I also think if you make a change, then what invariably happens is the new GM comes in the first year and doesn't do much. He wants to get a lay of the land. And I just don't know how far or how close the San Francisco Giants are. I mean, is this a good sign or a bad sign? Or does it mean anything at all that on the day they were eliminated, they started a 5-game winning streak, which is their longest winning streak of the season? I mean, in a way, that's a bad look.
I mean, it's a bad look, but it's also, I mean, they're playing without pressure.
Yeah, that's true.
They're playing without any expectation, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they also be trying to, I mean, they can play spoiler. Like Arizona losing hurts.
Right.
They're in a postseason race. So maybe they want to stick it to one of their division rivals. But, you know, the thing is, if you look around the league, there's a lot of teams that have, I don't want to say make quick choices, because moving off of Zaidi wouldn't be a quick decision. But it's not as if things just turn around magically. Like, for example, the Boston Red Sox, they fired Chaim Bloom, their president of baseball operations, or like COO of baseball, whatever they call it over there. And they hired Craig Breslow, who on paper is actually just what I think the Giants would try to get, which is a former player. He's a Yale grad, and he pitched in the league for a decade. And he embraces analytics, but he's a former player, he's a pitcher, and he's been involved with organizations before. So, like, that checks every single box. Well, look at the Red Sox. They're 500.
Right.
Like, they aren't significantly better than they were a year ago. And if they were going to be, it's because they've been able to retain their best players, and those players have played well. So, just because you get someone else in here doesn't mean you're going to get what you want, which is, of course, winning more baseball games.
Yeah. No, I just think they're in a pickle. They're in a pickle.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Steve's in the city. What's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I think Farhan's had his chance. And if I am the Giants, I'd be on the phone to Theo Epstein. I don't know where he is or what he's doing right now, but it'd be a pretty simple question, which would be, what position and how much money do you want to come in here and run things? Theo has turned around and won championships at the two most snake-bitten franchises in baseball history. And I'd say, look, if it takes 5 years, that's what it takes. But let's get someone in here who really knows how to do it.
Appreciate the call. Why do I just not think that's their MO?
Oh, the Giants would get Theo Epstein if he was available. And I'm sorry, I don't mean this in a degrading tone towards the caller. Theo Epstein ain't sniffing the Giants. Why would Theo Epstein ever take a job with the San Francisco Giants? With his resume, with what he's currently doing, which, by the way, is a part owner of the Boston Red Sox and the Fenway Group, he's involved with Liverpool in the Premier League, and he also does work with the front office of Major League Baseball. He's on track to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball if he wants.
Is he really?
Yes. Theo Epstein doesn't want to deal with day-to-day operations anymore, especially for a team that can't help itself. Like, and that's, well, that is disrespectful. No disrespect, but Theo Epstein is bigger than the San Francisco Giants.
Is there anybody like him out there?
No. That's why everyone wants him. Like, I'm sure he could take an offer with any team. I mean, if he could remake the Giants, why wouldn't he go and, I don't know, why wouldn't he have taken the Baltimore Orioles job a couple of years, you know?
No, I got you.
Why wouldn't he come back to Boston and help resurrect that franchise? You know, why wouldn't he help the Mets? I'm sure Steve Cohen, who's got coffers that are deeper than, I don't know, some basin. Like, he could just pay him whatever he wanted.
Yeah, no, I just meant in general, I don't see the Giants ownership group bringing a guy like that, even if there are other examples of people similar to him, where they're going to write a monster check for a GM.
Well, you're looking for a Theo Epstein's also 50 now, but you are looking for the next Theo Epstein. That's what every team is looking for. You're looking for a young, bright, analytic, driven mind that can come in and basically apply their, you know, their philosophies to an organization that has been a bit behind. I mean, that's what Farhan was supposed to be.
Right.
So, you know, one thing that I also take note of is the Giants cleaning house on their scouting department. They fired, I think it's 4 old-time baseball scouts. Okay, so that signals that they're moving in more of a modern direction. I don't know if it's good or bad yet, but that is noticeable to me because a lot of teams around Major League Baseball don't have, you know, kind of these long-time tenured scouts anymore. Either they will use consultant companies, you know, analytic-driven models. They'll basically pawn off scouting to other places because they can use data from college. They can use data from the minor leagues. You don't actually have to have people on the ground looking at these players every single day to figure out what you need to be successful. So maybe that's where Farhan is going to get some more help this offseason from outside sources. You know, maybe the Giants don't just want his fingerprints on this franchise anymore. They want other people. But either way, if Farhan gets let go at the end of the season, I don't think that'd be a shock. But I would be very surprised if he's the lone person making all future baseball decisions for the Giants.
We're assuming that Buster Posey doesn't want to be the GM. Are we so sure about that?
I feel pretty positive. I also, to be honest, I think he'd be a little bit in over his head.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, when you're the president of baseball ops, at least from my understanding, like you deal with everything.
Right.
From rookie ball to your best player on your major league team, you deal with everything. And is Buster Posey going to be down in, you know, up in Sacramento looking at Reggie Crawford? I personally don't want him to do that. Now, if Buster Posey is side by side with Zaidi and is helping him make those choices, to me, that's a far better role for him. And something, honestly, I think that suits him more, because as much as Posey is, he's a great and he's a figure and he's someone that is synonymous with Giants baseball, I don't really think he likes to do the dance with the media,
right,
or the fans, and that's never really been him to me. He speaks by his actions.
Yeah, and yet by the same token, when he speaks, you know, he carries a lot of weight, obviously. And I, like I said last week, a week ago today, I went down the street to Sam's Grill, and Buster Posey was there with Larry Bear for a couple hours. I wonder what they're talking about. I don't know.
I also can't recall a player as great as him ever taking up the mantle of GM. Manager, yes. Players have been in, Hall of Fame players have been involved. Well, I guess, no, but Joe Torre was a manager, and he was never in the Yankees front office. I can't recall a player of his stature ever just taking over an organization, at least, you know, publicly.
All right, here's the other thing that we missed a little bit this week is it's the penultimate Oakland A's game at the Coliseum. Now, you went last night, you're going tonight.
Yep.
And you're going tomorrow.
Yep.
What was the atmosphere there last night? I didn't even look. How many, big crowd or?
Yeah, I mean, for the Coliseum, it had a big crowd. It's, I don't know, you know, it's kind of, it's melancholy, you know, but I think everyone's kind of at peace with it. It hits people at different times, you know. I was walking around the parking lot yesterday with a pop and was just kind of, well, I was obviously searching for trinkets. I was kind of looking for collectibles and memorabilia that I could
pick up a piece of grass or something like that, like they do after the World Series.
No, like they're selling Matt Stairs jerseys and they're selling, you know, Bash Brothers posters and they're selling bobbleheads, you know, Mark Ellis bobble. Like they're selling things that I would personally like. I know they might not mean much to you, but
no, but go ahead.
I'll tell
you in a minute.
Well, but there are people who were taking pictures. There were people who were barbecuing and having fun. There are people, I saw a couple of people that were crying. Like, there's just a wide range of emotion right now. And, you know, I had a chance to take my brother yesterday. We're going tonight and tomorrow. And it's just a chance to kind of say goodbye to a place that, well, honestly, I fell in love with baseball at.
Yeah. The one, so, and I take it you saw John Fisher's letter to the Oakland A's fans.
Yeah, there was a typo.
Was there?
Yeah.
It's what was it?
I mean, it's just a small thing, but.
Missed a comma?
Something like that. But it's appropriate, you know. He overlooked it.
People, you know, hey, he tried. Put it on the tombstone. That's going to be his legacy.
No.
We tried. Here's what has been hitting me about the A's, and I got it, you know, it's kind of hitting me now a little bit, is let me ask you if you could do this and how a guy of Fisher stature views things as opposed to somebody like you and me.
Okay.
All I can do is put myself in Fisher's position. If I owned the Oakland A's and I had the money John Fisher had or has, I don't know how I would move a franchise and not sell it. Like, I just, are these guys in such a bubble? Are they so elite and aloof and out of the public eye that he doesn't think twice about stranding a fan base or moving a team? I know it's easy for me to say, really? You're going to move the team instead of selling it to someone who would keep it here? Like, that's a level of cold, hard business that I must not even understand a sliver of, because I think it would be hard to go through the rest of your life, quite frankly. But maybe he doesn't have to see people because he lives somewhere where isn't accessible to Joe Fan.
Well, I'm going to misquote Goo here, but what does he say all the time? It's like, money can't buy you happiness, can buy you a hell of a time. I mean, like, what if I told you that if you moved your team in 4 years, their net worth is double?
Okay.
So you're going to pull in an extra few billion dollars. And I know it's easy for us to sell. Well, just, you know, you already got a few billion. Why not have just a few billion more?
No doubt.
It's the whole bigger boat complex. Like, if you've ever been to Miami and you see all these massive cruise ships, or, well, not cruise ships, but, like, you know, massive boats that people drive around, there's always someone with a bigger boat. You can always go get a bigger boat. You can always make more money. And that's the selfish part about it is, no, he doesn't care. Like, he clearly doesn't. He doesn't care what people think of him. He doesn't care about, you know, displacing a team or, I don't know, stabbing fans in the proverbial cardiac muscle. Like, he doesn't care.
I get that, but, you know, I always said this about Barry Zito, okay? Barry Zito signed that monster deal with the Giants.
Hell of a country singer, by the way.
$126 million, wasn't that what it was?
It was the largest contract given out to a pitcher, I believe, at the time.
And obviously, he was a major disappointment. And everybody said, well, yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's got the money. You know what? He couldn't walk around the Bay Area with his head held high. He really couldn't. I don't care if he made all that money. He became somebody that was associated with one of the biggest underachievers or biggest disappointments in baseball. And it's like, that had to take a toll on him. And the idea that John Fisher is willing to go, he's going to live in infamy. He's going to be Art Modell. You know what I mean? He's going to be the guy who moved the team. And like that will be the top line of his obituary. And I get it. He'll be dead. He won't care. But in the meantime, maybe it's just my naivete, but why not just sell the team? It's not like you're... Does he really think he's going to go to another city and now he's going to be able to operate like a regular baseball team? Do you think if and when the A's move that all of a sudden they're going to start spending money? Because I don't.
Not necessarily, but once they get a new owner, they will. I hope. But, I mean, you never know. Like, I mean, there are notoriously cheap owners across all sports. It's just in baseball, there's no salary cap. Like, I was reading this article a couple weeks ago about these insurance policies that NFL teams will take out on specific players. So if a player goes down with a season-ending injury, the team recoups some of that money. And it actually provides cap relief, and there's other reasons that they do it. But the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know if anybody... They're a notoriously cheap franchise.
Right.
And even though they've paid Burrow, it's like... But that's under the salary cap. Okay, they don't pay... They don't put out insurance policies on their players. They don't have an expansive scouting department. There used to be this running joke that for a long time that you could just watch the college football national championship game and you'd see six future Bengals. Because like they would just watch the games on television and then take whoever's the best player on one of those big-name programs in the first round. And I'm not sure if it's the same case now, but like there are cheap franchises. The only reason they might still be in Cincinnati is because they built them a stadium and it's publicly funded, which is what Fisher is looking for and could not be provided in Oakland. And so whether it's selling the team or not selling the team, if someone's going to pay for him to go to Las Vegas, he's going to be, I'm out. Or Sacramento first, I guess, whoever gets stuck in purgatory.
Yeah, we can talk more about this on the other side. If anybody wants to jump in, we can do that. It's halftime of the week. That's what we're calling it. Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with one of my main men, Evan Giddings, and Jason Dumas. They come on live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay. It's all presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habaslaw.com.